بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فعن سلمان رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: خطبنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم في آخر يوم من شعبان فقال: يا أيها الناس، قد أظلكم شهر عظيم مبارك، شهر فيه ليلة خير من ألف شهر، شهر جعل الله صيامه فريضة وقيام ليله تطوعا، من تقرب فيه بخصلة كان كمن أدى فريضة فيما سواه، ومن أدى فريضة فيه كان كمن أدى 70 فريضة فيما سواه، وهو شهر الصبر والصبر ثوابه الجنة، وشهر المواساة، وشهر يزاد في رزق المؤمن فيه، من فطر فيه صائما كان مغفرة لذنوبه وإتق رقبته من النار، وكان له مثل أجره من غير أن ينقص من أجره شيء. قالوا: يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، ليس كلنا يجد ما يفطر الصائم. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: يعطي الله هذا الثواب من فطر صائما على تمرة أو شربة ماء أو مذقة لبن، وهو شهر أوله رحمة وأوسطه مغفرة وآخره إتق من النار، من خفف عن مملوكه فيه غفر الله له وأعتقه من النار. واستكثروا فيه من 4 خصال: خصلتين ترضون بهما ربكم، وخصلتين لا غناء بكم عنهما. فأما الخصلتان اللتان ترضون بهما ربكم فشهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وتستغفرونه، وأما الخصلتان اللتان لا غناء بكم عنهما فتسألون الله الجنة وتعوذون به من النار، ومن سقى صائما سقاه الله من حوضي شربة لا يظمأ حتى يدخل الجنة. رواه ابن خزيمة في صحيحه. حضرت سلمان رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ reports, he says that رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم gave a sermon, he gave a khutbah فی آخر یوم من شعبان, on the last day of Shaban, a day before Ramadan. فَقَالَ, and in that khutbah, he mentioned virtues of the month of Ramadan. And through this khutbah, he encouraged us to value every moment of the month of Ramadan. He said in his khutbah, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, Qad adallakum shahrun azimun mubarakun. There has dawned upon you a month which is great and which is blessed. So a month full of azmat, full of reverence, full of greatness. A month which is a revered month and a respected month in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the eyes of the Sharia, in the eyes of the believers, in the eyes of the angels. A revered month. and a month full of blessings. Blessings throughout the night, blessings throughout the day. Blessings throughout the month of Ramadan. Blessings after blessings. Shahrun fihi laylatun khayrun min alfi shahr. A month in which lies a night which is better than 1,000 months. As mentioned earlier, one opinion is that this night, the night of Qadr, which is better than 1,000 months, better than 1,000 months. So it could be equivalent to 1,001 month, 1,002 months, 1,003 months. Better than 1,000 months. How much better? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. It could be equivalent to 2,000 months, 3,000 months, 4,000 months. If a person worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during this night, then the minimum he will get is reward for worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 1,000 months, which is approximately just over 80 years. So if a person was to acquire Laylatul Qadr 12 times in his life, then it is as if he has worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 1,000 years. And according to one opinion, this night rotates throughout the month. So it could be on the first night, it could be on the second night, it could be on the third night, it could be on the fourth. This year it could be on the third, next year it could be on the 15th. The year after it could be on the 26th. It rotates throughout the month. But the majority and the muhakkikin are of the opinion that it rotates in the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan. And one reason for sitting in i'tikaf during the last 10 days is to acquire the night of Qadr. Is to acquire this night, which is more better than 1,000 months. And as mentioned earlier, a person who sits in i'tikaf, the person who is in i'tikaf, he carries out i'tikaf, he carries out the sunnah of i'tikaf or the ritual of i'tikaf or the ibadah of i'tikaf, the devotion of i'tikaf with all its requirements as stipulated by the Sharia, then he is in ibadah 24 hours. So a mu'takif who is sitting in the masjid fulfilling all the requirements stipulated by the Sharia for the person who sits in i'tikaf, then even when he is sleeping, he is in ibadah. Because while sleeping, he is engaged in the ibadah of i'tikaf. When he is eating, he is in ibadah. Because whilst eating, he is carrying out the ibadah of i'tikaf. So if a person sits in i'tikaf during the last 10 days, and even if he goes to sleep during the nights, then 100% he is guaranteed the reward of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during this blessed night. Because even when he is sleeping, he is engaged in the ibadah of i'tikaf. This is one reason why people sit in itikaf during the last 10 days of Ramadan. And the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majmeen and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alayhi Wa Alayhi Wasallam also used to sit in itikaf for many reasons. They know better because they were great ulama, they were people of knowledge. They had a far more better understanding of deen than we. But one reason was to find Laylatul Qadr. In a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam spoke to the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in on the 20th of Ramadan. On the morning of the 20th of Ramadan. Last day of the second part of Ramadan. From the three parts. And he was in itikaf during the middle 10 days with many companions, radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. And many were intending to leave itikaf and go home. So on the 20th, he gave a small khutbah and he said that those of you who were with me in itikaf, they should continue with itikaf in the last 10 days also. Because I have been shown in my dream by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Laylatul Qadr will be in the last 10 nights. So one reason for itikaf is finding and acquiring the Laylatul Qadr and to acquire the benefits and the virtues of Laylatul Qadr. So one opinion is that Laylatul Qadr could be anywhere during the whole month of Ramadan, any night during the whole month of Ramadan. The second opinion is, and that is the more preferred opinion, that is the more muhakkak opinion, that is the opinion of the majority, that it rotates in the last 10 nights. And from amongst the last 10 nights, it frequently rotates during the odd nights. So sometimes it could be 22nd, sometimes 24th, sometimes 26th, sometimes 28th, sometimes 30th, but more 21st, 23rd, 25th, 27th and 29th. And from amongst the odd nights, it falls more on the 27th night. Many people tend to think that 27th night is the night of Qadr. There are so many people who think that 27th night is fixed as Laylatul Qadr. This is a wrong notion. It could be 27th, it could be 25th, it could be 24th. Yes, majority of the times, Laylatul Qadr falls on the 27th. Thereafter, majority of the times it falls on odd nights. And thereafter, majority of the times it falls on even nights during the last 10 days. So there dawns upon you a month which is full of reverence, full of blessings. In this month there is a night which is more better than 1,000 months. It is a month, shahrun. It is a month, ja'alallahu siyamahu faridatan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared its fasting compulsory. Wa qiyama laylihi tatawwa'a. And the qiyam of its nights, sunnah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared two things for this month. One is during the day, every believer should fast. And during the night, every believer should perform taraweeh, which is sunnah. 20 rak'ah taraweeh, which is sunnah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made fasting during the day in the month of Ramadan. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ Fasting has been made compulsory upon you. Kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum. Just as it was made compulsory upon the people before you. La'allakum tattaqoon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very kind with the believers. He is very kind with the ummah of his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He does not say, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyam. O you who believe, fasting has been made compulsory upon you. This was sufficient. O you who believe, fasting has been made compulsory upon you. He is our master. He is our creator. He can give any command, any order. O you who believe, O the believers, fasting has been made compulsory upon you, therefore fast. Now he says, O you who believe, fasting has been made compulsory upon you just as it was made compulsory upon the people before you. If a teacher says to one of his students, go upstairs in the library and clean the library. Go upstairs in the library and clean the library. Psychologically, he will feel it a burden that I have to go and clean the library. But if he is told that go upstairs and clean the library with the students of the second year, psychologically, a person feels that it is not only me who is having to do this. There are other people also. In Arabic, we say, Al-musibatu idha ammat khaffat. If a person has a headache, if a person is in flu and cold, if a person is suffering from virus, if a person is troubled by hay fever, and he is on his own who is suffering, psychologically, he will find it more painful. But if there are other people also suffering from the same illness, then psychologically, the pain is still the same. It hasn't increased or it hasn't lessened. But psychologically, he feels that I am not the only person who's suffering. There are other people also. Al-musibato, the calamity, idha ammat. When it is spread on more than one person, khaffat, it lessens. Psychologically, a person feels that it's not only me. If a person fails, and he is the only person who fails in his class, he will find it very painful. But if from the 30 boys, 5 people fail, so there are other 4 people who have failed with him, he will find it painful, but less. Because he knows that somebody else is also suffering from the same calamity, from the same pain. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make it easy for us, He said, O you who believe, fasting has been made compulsory upon you, just as it was made compulsory upon all the ummats that have come before you. It was compulsory on everybody, not only you. And number two, one is that a father says to the son, a young child, that sit down and learn this lesson. Sit down from 4 till 6. Don't move from your place. Learn this lesson. And second, another father, he says to his child, sit down from 4 till 6. Learn this lesson. And when you've learned your lesson, I will give you £5. It becomes more easier. When you know that at the end of your hard work, you will be rewarded. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. As a result of your fasting in the month of Ramadan, I will grant you the gift of taqwa. And taqwa guarantees success in this world and also in the hereafter. Taqwa guarantees all successes. Because when a person is granted taqwa, he becomes muttaqi.
And as soon as a person becomes muttaqi, he becomes the wali of Allah. So wilayat and taqwa is the same thing. If a person has taqwa, he has wilayat. If a person is a muttaqi, he is a wali. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that work hard during the month of Ramadan, fulfill the rites of the month of Ramadan, and at the end of the month of Ramadan, I will make you my friend. I will make you my wali, my special friend. I will give you wilayate khassa, special friendship. Friendship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is of two types. One is wilayate amma, common friendship. Second is wilayate khassa, special friendship. Wilayate amma, every believer is a common friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu waliyul ladina amanu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the friend of all the believers. Allahu waliyul ladina amanu. Yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. He takes them out from the darkness of kufr, and he takes them towards the light of Islam. He removes them from the path of Jahannam, and he places them on the path leading to Jannah. So every mu'min enjoys a friendship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it is a common friendship. And the other friendship is wilayati khassa, special friendship. With iman, a person becomes muttaqi. He does only that which pleases Allah. And he stays away from everything that displeases Allah. This is muttaqi. Now, what is the difference between a common friend and a special friend when it comes to friendship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? As far as a common friend is concerned, no guarantees are given to him. And as far as a special friend is concerned, all guarantees are given to him. A common friend, a mu'min who is not a special friend, a mu'min who is not a muttaqi, he says things, he does things which displeases Allah. He is not very particular in regard to abstaining from those things which displease Allah. A common friend, ordinary friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no guarantee that he will be granted peace of mind and contentment of heart. There is no guarantee. If Allah wills, he will grant it to him. If Allah wills, he will take it away from him. If a common friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is living a life full of peace of mind and contentment of heart, then there is no guarantee that this will remain with him forever. Allah may keep it with him, Allah may snatch it from him. For him, there is no guarantee that he will die with iman. There is no guarantee that he will not be punished in the qabr. There is no guarantee that he will not be questioned on the day of qiyamah. There is no guarantee that he will succeed on pul sirat. There is no guarantee that he will be granted entry into Jannah without going in the fire of Jahannam. This is the common friend. Danger all the way. Insecurity all the way. Unsurety all the way. And the special friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite being surrounded with calamities, Allah guarantees him peace of mind and contentment of heart. Special friend of Allah, the muttaqi. Allah guarantees him peace of mind, contentment of heart. And Allah guarantees that this contentment of heart and peace of mind will remain until he breathes his last. And Allah guarantees that he will leave this world with iman. And Allah guarantees that his qabr will become a garden from the gardens of paradise. And Allah guarantees that on the day of qiyamah he will be granted shade under his throne. And Allah guarantees that his reckoning will be very easy. Allah guarantees that his book of deed will be granted in his right hand. And Allah guarantees that he will cross the sirat with the speed of lightning, with the speed of the blinking of the eyes. And Allah guarantees that he will be granted entry into Jannah without having to go in the fire of Jahannam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyam. O you who believe, fasting has been made compulsory upon you. And to make it very psychologically easy, he says, just as it was made compulsory for all the people who had come before you. And the result or the reward of this 1 month of fasting, la'allakum tattaqoon, friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Special friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, shahrun ja'ala Allah siyamahu farizatan. It is a month, the fasting of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made compulsory. And it is a month, the qiyam of its nights, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made sunnah. The qiyam that is mentioned in this hadith is not tahajjud. Tahajjud is that salat which is performed throughout the year. And taraweeh is that salat which is performed only during the month of Ramadan. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's regular habit as far as tahajjud is concerned was that he would perform 8 rakat. And thereafter he would perform the salatul witr. His regular habit during majority of the days or during the latter part of his life was that he would sleep the first half of the night. He would divide the night into 3 parts. He would sleep the first half of the night. Thereafter, 1/3 of the night thereafter, 1/3 of the night, he would remain in qiyam. And 1/6 of the night, he would go to sleep. So if the night consists of 6 hours, 3 hours, he would sleep. 2 hours, he would stand in qiyam. And 1 hour, he would go to sleep again and rest again before Fajr. But Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says, this was his normal practice during either the latter part of his life or majority of the days. This was his practice. But he would perform tahajjud any time according to his schedule. So Aisha radiallahu anha says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has performed tahajjud salat during his life in every part of the night. Some day immediately after Isha, some day 15 minutes after Isha, some day 30 minutes after Isha. Aisha radiallahu anha says that there is no slot during the night in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not performed salatul tahajjud. Sometimes he would spend the whole night in tahajjud. Sometimes he would perform tahajjud immediately after Isha and go to sleep. Sometimes he would sleep for 1 hour and then get up. He would perform 8 rakats. And after 8 rakat, he would perform 3 rakat of salatul witr. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ij'alu akhira salatikum bil-layl witra. Make witr your last prayer of the night. That means it is better that you make witr the last prayer of the night. It is not compulsory, it is better. So if after performing salatul witr, say somebody performed Isha, after Isha salatul witr, and thereafter he went to sleep, and Allah gave him the tawfiq and he got up at 3 o'clock in the morning, before dawn, and Allah inspired him, Allah granted him the tawfiq to worship him, it is okay for him to perform salatul tahajjud. No problem. Even if he has already performed salatul tahajjud, even if he has already performed salatul witr. The teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that for that person who is confident that he will wake up for tahajjud before dawn, he should delay his salatul witr. For that person who is confident that he will wake up, it is his habit and he definitely wakes up, then he should delay his witr. He should wake up perform tahajjud, and just before dawn, complete his witr. But for that person who is a heavy sleeper, who does not have confidence that he will wake up, he may wake up, he may not wake up, because witr is wajib, it is incumbent. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, for such a person, it is better that he performs his witr straight after Isha, before going to sleep. And then he goes to sleep with the intention of waking up for tahajjud. And if he is able to wake up, he performs tahajjud. It was the habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to perform 8 rakat tahajjud daily. And my friends, in tahajjud lies many barakat. Our great mashayikh, the likes of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahimahullahu ta'ala, Sheikh Junaid Baghdadi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullahu ta'ala, Imam Bukhari, rahimahullahu ta'ala, the Sahaba, they were all punctual when it came to Salatul Tahajjud. Sheikh Hussain Ahmad Madani, Sheikh Qasim Nanotwi, Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, Maulana Ilyas Kandalwi, Sheikh Al-Hadith Maulana Zakariya, rahimahullahu ta'ala, rahimahumullahu ta'ala. They were all punctual when it came to tahajjud. And they would remain in qiyam for long duration. Some would complete the whole Quran during the night. Some would complete the whole Quran in one rakat. Sa'id ibn Jubair rahimahullah ta'ala, during one night he completed 2.5 Quran. Tahajjud and Quran went hand in hand when it comes to the pious predecessors. If a sahabi was asked, what is your ma'mool as far as Quran is concerned? If he said, 3 juz every day. That means 3 juz in tahajjud. Not like us. If I was to say that I recite 3 juz every day, that means I recite 3 juz, maybe in my nawafil, maybe in my sunan. Maybe I take out time and read the Quran whilst looking in the Quran. No, the sahaba, the tabi'in, our pious predecessors, how much do you recite daily? 15 juz. 15 juz meant that he recites 15 juz in tahajjud. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was a very, very pious young man during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would spend all his days fasting, all his nights in tahajjud. And he became negligent of the rights of the people around him. To cut the long story short, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat down with him and he counseled him. And he said that you complete the Quran every day. He said, reduce it. So he made an agreement with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I will complete the Quran on a weekly basis. I cannot recollect, either it was on a weekly basis or every third day. I will complete the Quran on a weekly basis or every third day. Agreement was made. He became old. 2 agreements were made. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, so no, make it less. No, make it less. He said, no. Either it's every third day or every 7th day Quran I will complete. And fasting, I will fast one day and leave one day. Fast one day and leave one day. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, 3 days per month is sufficient. He said, no, more. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this. He said, no, more. So he said, finished. One day fasting, one day leaving. Above that, no, there is no fasting. I won't permit you. So he was fasting, one day leaving one day, fasting one day, leaving one day. And he would complete the Quran every 3rd day or every 7th day. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left this world. This young man become middle-aged, and eventually he became old. And in old age, he was finding it difficult. So in Bukhari Sharif, we find that because he became old, and he had the habit of reciting that portion during the night, and it was not compulsory. It was not compulsory. But he used to say that how can I leave that amal upon which I had made an agreement with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when it came to fasting, when he became weak and he found fasting very difficult, then he would not fast for a few days. Monday he used to fast, Tuesday no fasting. Wednesday fast, Thursday no fasting. Friday fast, Saturday no fast. He wouldn't fast Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And he would count the days that he has left. And when he used to feel a bit better, more stronger, more healthier, then he would make up for all the fast that he has left. He said, I have made an agreement with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Regarding tilawa, because he became old, when you become old, your memory becomes weak. So the agreement he made with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding tilawa, tilawa meant in tahajjud. So he had to recite that. He said, no, I must recite what I had agreed with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in Bukhari Sharif we find that during the night, he would revise that portion, that amount. He would read it to one of his wives. So he would revise it, read it to one of his wives. So if it's every third day, 10 juz. And if it's every seventh day, then at least 4 to 5 juz. So he would revise it, read it to his wife. And then he would feel that I am completing the ma'mool which I had agreed upon with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he recited in tahajjud. In those days, Quran and tahajjud went together. So tahajjud is a very, very beneficial amal. And if one is given the tawfiq, those people who are able to sleep on time, wake up on time, those people who are able to follow a schedule. There are so many people who are not religious, but they are very particular. If they want to go to sleep at 10, they are able to, and wake up at 4, they can wake up. They should make a habit of performing tahajjud on its mustahab time, before dawn. Before dawn. Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki, Rahmatullahi Ali, used to say that the time of tahajjud before dawn, an hour, 2 hours before dawn, the mustahab time of tahajjud, the time of tahajjud begins after Isha until dawn, until Subha Sadiq. He used to say that the time before dawn, 1 hour, 1.5 hour, 2 hours before dawn, that time is the heart of the night. Heart of the night from spiritual aspect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's full attention is towards those people who are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because that is the time of ghafla. The whole world is sleeping. And this servant of mine is standing in my court talking to me. He is communicating with me. He used to say, heart. Heart of the night. And he used to say that Yasin Sharif is the heart of the Quran. And he would recommend that those people who are able to read Surah Yasin with other tilawat that they want to make, if they know Yasin Sharif, they should include Yasin also in the last rakat of tahajjud, in the last 2 rakats of tahajjud from the 8 rakats. So he used to say that read the heart of the Yasin during the heart of the night. And he said that if 3 hearts can get together, 3 hearts, then no one can explain the spirituality that a person will acquire. Heart of the night, heart of the Quran, and heart of the believer. Heart of the believer is in his salat, is in his tahajjud, is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us make a firm resolution that from today each and every one of us will perform at least 2 rakat salatul tahajjud. Very easy. After Isha, perform 2 rakat sunnah. After 2 rakat sunnah, make niyyah of 2 rakat tahajjud. And thereafter 3 rakat salatul witr. And if we are able to, then perform 4 rakat. If we are able to increase more, 6 rakat. If we are able to increase more, 8 rakats. And then say to Allah that, oh Allah, I'm very grateful to you for granting me the tawfiq to perform even 2 rakats. If not in the preferred time, but in time of tahajjud after Isha. If we continue performing these 2 rakats, and if we continue being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this tawfiq of performing 2 rakat, Allah says, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you are grateful to me, I will increase your favor. Allah will grant us the tawfiq to perform tahajjud in its mustahab time, inshallah. So let us make a firm resolution that we will perform at least 2 rakat, salatul tahajjud on a daily basis. And we will also make intention when we go to sleep to wake up at the mustahab time. Mustahab time. During the winter months, it is very easy. My late father, rahimahullah ta'ala, he would perform salatul tahajjud daily. Salatul tahajjud daily. Daily he would perform salatul tahajjud. And he would perform salatul tahajjud only in its mustahab time. Whether summer or winter. After Isha, he would return home and immediately go to sleep. By 11:30, he was snoring. He could fall to sleep within minutes. And he could wake up immediately without anybody waking him up. Naturally, he was very different when it came to sleep. He could sleep for hours. Hours means 10 hours, 11 hours, 12 hours without having any headache. Those people who sleep more, they get headache. Sometimes if you sleep less, you get headache. No, he was not habituated to a pattern. If he lied down any time within minutes, he could start snoring. And if you are talking in that room, then whilst he is sleeping, he is snoring. And if there is a place where his input is required, he would also speak as well. And all brothers are still alive who are witness to this. They'll be talking about something and there is a question and we say, no, did it happen in this year or did it happen in that year? And he's snoring and he would speak. And he would go to sleep again. Very light sleep, but very, very deep sleep as well. So even during summer months, when Subha Sadiq is at 1:15, 1:20, at 11:30 he would go to sleep and 12:30 he would wake up for the tahajjud. After he passed away, I asked my mother that tell me something unique about my father. Because he was so simple and so humble that to tell you the truth, we brothers, the family members did not value him as he was worthy of value. We did not recognize him. I was only 27, 28 years old. We were all young. Now when we read the hadith, the insurance of the pious, and then compare my father's life with them, then we realize that, oh, he had all these qualities. She says, tell me something unique. So my mother said that since I got married to him, whenever he remained in the house, and without my mother, he went out on a journey very less. So he said, whenever he was in the house with me, or when I was with him in traveler house, since the time he got married until he passed away, I cannot remember a night when he did not perform Salatul Tahajjud. And he used to cry and weep. He would go in. I remember when I used to come from Darulumbari, he was very, very fond of me. So he would ask me to sleep with him downstairs in the front room. So he would sleep on one side, I would sleep on one side. And sometimes my eyes would open during the night. And I would hear somebody crying. When I used to turn my face, I used to see him in sajda crying. Crying, and he was making dua, which I did not realize until now, that, oh, what a pious person he was. So all the great people used to perform tahajjud. So I was saying that all these great people, they used to perform tahajjud. And many of them said that whatever we have acquired in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through shedding of the tears at the time of tahajjud. Whatever we have acquired in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is through shedding of the tears during the time of tahajjud. So let us begin inshallah from today. Whatever happens, 2 rakat we must perform before going to sleep. And we will try to wake up at tahajjud also. And the tahajjud that we perform after Isha is tahajjud. It is very valuable, so we should make dua even then, because duas are accepted after tahajjud. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout the year used to perform tahajjud during the night. And during the month of Ramadan, he would perform Salatul Taraweeh and Tahajjud. There were 2 salats during the month of Ramadan. Salatul Taraweeh and Tahajjud. A Sahabi radiyallahu anhu asked Aisha radiyallahu anha that during the night, how many rakat did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam perform? So Aisha radiyallahu anha said, during Ramadan or out of Ramadan, he would perform 8 rakat. This 8 rakat that is mentioned in this hadith of Bukhari Sharif is tahajjud, not taraweeh. Because Aisha radiallahu anha says, in Ramadan or out of Ramadan. And taraweeh is performed only in Ramadan. So Aisha radiallahu anha cannot be talking about taraweeh, because she cannot say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to perform salatul taraweeh in Ramadan, out of Ramadan, 8 rakat. She says, in Ramadan or out of Ramadan, he would perform 8 rakat. She's talking about tahajjud, not taraweeh. So 8 rakat tahajjud. And in the month of Ramadan, 8 rakat tahajjud and also 20 rakat taraweeh. Those people who go in for Ramadan in Haramain Sharifain, they find that in the last 10 nights, the imams of the haram, immediately after Isha, they lead 20 rakah taraweeh. Then everybody disperses, the imams also go home. And they return again 2.5-3 hours before suhoor, before dawn. And with jamaat they perform salatul tahajjud. In Haramain Sharif until today, there are 2 Qiyamul Layl during the month of Ramadan. One is tahajjud, the other is taraweeh. There is a difference between tahajjud and taraweeh. Tahajjud is 8 rakats and taraweeh is 20 rakats. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said on the last day of Shaban that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the fasting of the month of Ramadan fard, and he has made Qiyamul Layl Sunnah. Sunnah, that is Qiyamul Layl, that is Taraweeh. Taraweeh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Sunnah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to do whatever we have learned today during the course of this explanation of this hadith. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this coming Ramadan very, very valuable. Make it a turning point in our lives. And whatever we learn through the course of discussion on this hadith, inshallah we will try our utmost to implement in our lives. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa aqibata lil muttaqeen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi sayyidina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا برحمتك يا رب.